I'd like to spend not only the lesson this morning, but also the lesson next Sunday morning, talking about this topic, and talk primarily to you about age and serving God in that segment of our life when we have become aged. And then next Sunday we'll talk about serving God in youth. And I think there are some very definite differences in those two things. There are a lot of similarities, of course. We do the same things in many regards, many respects. When we come, certainly when we come together to worship, whether we're young or we're old, we do a lot of the same things in our worshiping of God here. Of course, there are many other ways to serve God, and the Scriptures speak actually, rather specifically about how we are to go about serving God when we are young and how we are to do that when we have become older. Now I'm going to leave it to you to decide which one of these points applies to you. I'm not going to try and set any hard and fast rule. I think it is significant though, or at least interesting, that the word that is used in the Scriptures, for instance, to talk about those that are older, is presbytes, and it's the Greek word that makes reference to being elderly, to being older. It's the word, of course, from which we get the word elder as well, as to one who would serve as an elder within a congregation. And actually, it's a word that was oftentimes in common literature in that period of time in the first century and before. In the common Greek literature, it was a word that was used to refer to people who were in that 50 to 60 year old range. Now, I would acknowledge to you impressions that people have about themselves and about others as to when they are old or when they are young change from time to time and from society to society. Life expectancy has a lot to do with that. A person who's living in a culture where life expectancy is 50 to 60 years old, well, when you get to be 50 or 60, you're really old in that culture and in that circumstance. But if you live in a culture much like ours where life expectancy is somewhat higher, well, you get to be 50 to 60 years old and it's you don't have that impression so much about yourself. So there is some relativity involved in this. But nonetheless, in every culture, somebody's old and somebody's young. And the Scriptures address, for Christians living in all cultures, in all times and circumstances, the Scriptures address how we are to be, what we are to focus our attentions upon when we are young, as well as when we are old. And I think that there's an important point in that, and that is that there is something to do in service to God for everybody. When you're young, there's something to do in serving God. And when you're old, there's something to do in serving God. The Bible recognizes these differences, and the Bible regulates these differences in youth and in age. Within those regulations, both the young and the old are expected to serve God in their own way. We're not unemployed because we're young, and we are not retired because we're old. We are ever active in the service of the Lord in those ways that we can be. There are three things that I basically want to say to you this morning, and we'll use the same general framework in our lesson next Sunday when we talk about service to God in our youth. three general categories, if I may characterize it that way, that I want to emphasize to you, and that is that there are resources, there are privileges, and there are duties associated with our service to the Lord in both our youth and in our age. I don't know if you've given much thought to this or not. You've probably have seen some reference to this in some aspect in the past, but did you know that America is the oldest society in history? There's never been a society with this percentage of older people. The number of people who are over 65 is greater than the number of people who are, for instance, in their teenage years. There are 23 million teenagers in our nation, and there's approaching 35 million who are over 65. The prediction is that in years to come, one of every five people will be over 65. One of every 10 will be over 80. And I think we see evidence of this all around us. And we take note of, in a variety of ways, we take note of the particular truths about being older. Bob Hope once said, "You know that you're older when the candles cost more than the cake." And someone else has said that there are three stages in life. There's youth, there's adulthood, and there's, "My, you're looking well." And that's true. And it's true, by the way, for preachers as well. You want to know when you know you're a young preacher and when you know that you're an old preacher? It's when you go someplace to preach, and in the prayers that are said, something like this is said, and you know that you're a young preacher. When some brother leads a prayer saying, "Well, give Brother Owen many years of service in your kingdom." You know you're an older preacher when the prayer goes, "Thank you for all of the good that Brother Owen has done." And that's I think, pretty true. Well, all things being equal, all of us are going to get older. And there are certainly some drawbacks to that. And the Scriptures are not aware of those drawbacks. You read, we won't do it in our lesson this morning, but you read the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes sometimes. And in the early verses of that chapter, there's a pretty accurate description of what it's like to grow older. And there are some things that are difficult about that. I had very dear friend, or actually a couple who were very dear friends of ours in Florida. And she often would say, and I know it wasn't original with her, but she often would say, "The golden years are not so golden." There are difficulties associated with getting older, and the Bible certainly acknowledges that. But that's not the complete picture. To acknowledge that there are difficulties and challenges as one grows older in this life is not to say that that's all there is about getting older, the hardships and the difficulties that come along with it. There are other things that come along with age. Most of the time, I remember one of my favorite birthday cards was one that said on the outside, "With age comes wisdom." And I got this birthday card from somebody, by the way. And I opened up the card, and on the inside it says, "In your case, age came alone." But the truth of the matter is that there are things that come along with age that that we need to appreciate and we need to acknowledge. Now, the first thing that I would say to you about this in regards to age is that there are certain resources that we should recognize that are part of becoming older. And if we're going to serve the Lord in our age, then we need to understand and appreciate these resources. I'll be looking this morning for the most part in Titus, the second chapter, where we see Paul addressing himself actually to Titus about things that he needed to know and that he needed to teach about both older and younger members in the congregations that he would work with. He says, for instance, in verse 2, that older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And then he goes on with really a discussion about young women and then young men. And that'll be where we'll direct our attention next Sunday. But I want you to think with me for a few moments this morning about what he has to say about older men and older women. We're not going to necessarily talk about this from the standpoint of, well, here's the category of things that older men ought to do. Here's the category of things that older women ought to do, though that would certainly be an appropriate way to approach this text. But what I'd like to do this morning is just to look at the two together and to see what they say about age and particularly age in service to the Lord. And it seems to me that these verses indicate that with age, there are certain resources that come, certain benefits that those who are older can offer to a congregation, to a group, that they can offer certainly to those who are younger. Now, you know, it's I think an appropriate thing to appreciate resources. We hear a lot about that, talking about how our nation ought to appreciate its natural resources, and I certainly agree with that. We would be harmed if we just neglected the various resources that we have as a nation. And the same is true when we start talking about people and when we start talking about congregations. It's not a good thing to just neglect the presence of resources that a congregation may have. And it's foolish as individuals for us to neglect and to ignore resources that we have at our disposal in the persons of those who make up a congregation, and particularly in light of our study this morning, particularly those that are older. What are the resources? What do they offer? Well, I want to tell you that sadly, in many instances, a lot of folks would answer that question by saying, well, there's just not a lot that older people offer. There's just not a lot that, you know, here's a 20-something year old. Well, there's just not much that old man Owen can offer to me. He doesn't know what it's like to be my age. Well, believe it or not, I do. But he doesn't know what it's like. He doesn't know what I face. He doesn't. You know, it's such a mistake for us to neglect, to ignore the resources that we have. Older people, men and women, are a source to us of such things as wisdom. Wisdom being applied knowledge, as it sometimes is defined. That is, it's one thing to know facts. It's another thing to know how to apply those facts. And that's what age does. Age enables us to come to know facts, to learn, if you will, the facts of life. And it's wisdom that enables us to effectively and rightly apply those facts. And quite frankly, in our youth, we a lot of times either don't know the facts, or we may know the facts, but we just haven't yet become adept at applying those facts. Wisdom is something that age provides to us. Experience. And that goes hand in hand with that idea of wisdom. Experience. Through the experiences of life, those that are older have, or at least, let me say it this way. Those that are older should have, they don't always, but they should have, in the course of the passing of time, come to understand through their experiences how to confront certain things about life, how to get through difficulties. I think I've told you this before, but one of the best illustrations of experience that I ever saw in my life was in Atlanta, Georgia, driving down the road behind a garbage truck. And there are two men on the back of that garbage truck. And they're standing there talking to one another just as nonchalantly as we would sitting in the back seat of a car. And here they are. They're just hanging on to this back of this truck, and they're talking. But then I noticed all of a sudden they quit talking. And they turned and they faced the back of that truck, and they got a grip on that truck with both hands, and they flexed their knees. And then, sure enough, there was the bump in the road. And then I came right along behind them and went over that bump. Now that's experience. You see, those men knew where that bump was in the road. And so they could prepare themselves to face it and to pass through it or pass over it. Now what I'm telling you about age and the resource that older men and women provide to us is just that. They've been down the road before. They know where the bumps are. And they know how to go through them and go over them and get beyond them. That's what they can offer. Don't ever think that, well, those old folks there at church, they just don't have much that they can offer to me. You're just denying yourself the benefits of a valuable resource. But there are, as a result of age and the resources and the value that older people are. There are certain privileges that come along then with age. And we see this indicated throughout the scriptures. It's indicated certainly in the Old Testament, where the Hebrews were told that you will rise before the gray head. You will honor the older ones. We find a similar kind of instruction or recognition of the importance in 1 Timothy, in the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, where Paul, giving Timothy instructions about how he was to conduct himself in his work with the church there in Ephesus, how he was to relate to the members and his in discharging his responsibility. He says in verse 1, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. He says, this is how you ought to relate. And in the context of that instruction, Paul demonstrates the privilege that ought to be granted to those that are older, a respect to them because of their experience and because of their wisdom and because of their steadfastness, frankly, because they have demonstrated over a period of time a perseverance in their faith. That demands respect from those who are setting out at an earlier stage now in that faith. And if that's not given, if that kind of privilege is not extended, then very likely the resource that those that are older can be to us is simply not going to be acknowledged. And it's going to be ignored, and we're going to be the worse for it. Well, the third point that I want you to think about with me is that not only is it true that there are certain resources that those that are older provide, and that there are certain privileges that ought to be extended to them, but there, of course, are certain duties that come along with age. What of those of you that are older? What are your obligations? It's one thing to talk about your privileges. It's one thing to talk about the benefits that you would offer to a group or to individuals. But, you know, you do have certain obligations. You're a valuable resource only if you're meeting your obligations. Look at what Paul has to say to Titus in our text once again. Chapter 2 of Titus. He says, here's what you need to be. You need to be temperate. You need to be dignified. And you need to be sensible. As I've said in the text here, he addresses those things to older men. But we're looking at this from the standpoint of men and women who are older. These are things that you need to offer to a congregation. These are your obligations. To be temperate, that is to be self-controlled, to be temperate, to be dignified, to act and conduct yourself in a dignified way. I want to tell you, I have heard of and I have seen on more than one occasion older people act in the most undignified sort of way. And in doing so, do great harm to those that are younger. Leave an example of what they ought not to be, more than what they ought to be. And you ought to be sensible, Paul says. Titus, here's what you need to teach older folks to do. They need to be sensible. I know of a preacher that was asked to speak in a lectureship on one occasion, and he was assigned a topic, and it was being sensible. That was his topic. Well, when he told his wife about this, she said, "Finally, thank goodness." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she says, "Well, all we ever hear around here from you is, well, that just doesn't make sense. Now you get to tell us what makes sense." But of course, sensible here is being used in somewhat of a different way. It has more to do with being serious. Be serious. Now, that doesn't mean that when you get older you can't have a sense of humor about yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't have times when, you know, of enjoyment and just kind of being silly, and that's okay. That's okay. But what your duty is to convey to others what it means to be serious about life. I mean, supposedly, you've spent enough time in the endeavors of life that you've come to appreciate what it means to be sensible and how to be sensible about life. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things about life today that are just, and the way people live and conduct themselves, they're just plain silly. There's no seriousness about a lot of people. But as you get older, there should have developed within you an appreciation for seriousness and the seriousness of things. You're to be, he goes on to say, to be sound. That is to be healthy. To be sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. When young people look around in this room, for instance, and they see the gray heads, they see the older ones, do they see people who are in good health? Well, maybe not in physical good health, but do they see people who are in good health in their love, in their perseverance, in their faith? They ought to. And if you are doing the things that you ought to do in this part of your life, they'll see you. And when they confront matters of, you know, dealing with their faith or challenging their faith, or they confront issues in their life where their love may begin to wane some, or if they face instances in life where they're challenged to persevere, to just keep on, then what Paul is saying is they need to think about you. They need to be able to think about you as a living demonstration of how in their faith and in their love and in their perseverance to be what they ought to be. Now, may I say this, and we'll talk more about this in the next installment of our study, but you know what that says is it says something to young people who are in their youth. And what it says is you need to be smart enough to look around and to see people like this and to appreciate them and to draw from them the kinds of instructions that you should. Those who are older need to be reverent in their behavior. They need to be people who are showing a reverence, actively showing a reverence. They need not to be, you know, it's just as important to know what you shouldn't be as it is to know what you should be. And he said a lot about what you should be, but he also says, here's some things you shouldn't be. He says, you shouldn't be malicious gossips. You shouldn't be enslaved to much wine. And you ought to be teachers of what is good. Well, I don't know if it's true, but it seems to be an implication here that it's an age where gossiping can become maybe more of a challenge. That's not to say that it can't be a challenge in youth, but maybe it's more of a challenge in age than it is in one's youth. And malicious gossip, that is gossip that is intended to be hurtful, that which is intended to wound and to harm, is perhaps something that becomes more of a factor as one gets older. And what Paul is saying is you should be that. And you shouldn't be enslaved to much wine. You shouldn't have given in to the influences of wine and to have been overcome. There again, it may very well be an indication that in it's in age that maybe some of those things that in youth weren't as overwhelming to one's life in youth, maybe as they come into our old age, they become more overwhelming to us. And so we need to be on guard against those things. He says you shouldn't be that. But what you should be is a teacher of what is good. You should be the source of instruction by your conduct, by your word, by what you say. You need to be the source of what is good. Well, that's a pretty good challenge, it seems to me, for life and for that latter part of one's life, to be the kind of person that is a resource for good things, to be the kind of person who deserves the privileges that come along with age. And that's all accomplished by being the kind of person who in one's age still meets the duties of service to the Lord. We are neither unemployed because of our youth nor retired because of our age. I hope you can be with us next Sunday when we talk about youth in the service of the Lord. And we'll try to make some connections between those things that are particularly true in youth and how they relate to those things that are particularly true in service to God in our age. But the question that applies, it seems to me, to both, whether you classify yourself as being in that older group or if you classify yourself as being in that younger group, the all-encompassing question is, are you serving the Lord? Are you trying to use your life to do those things that God approves of? If you're old and you're not trying to serve the Lord, that's tragic. If you're young and you're not trying to serve the Lord, that's tragic. But it needs not to continue to be the case. You can today begin serving the Lord, young or old. For there is something to do for everyone, young or old. You can begin that service by just giving your obedience to Christ. He commanded that men and women should believe that He is the Son of God. And in that faith, that they should repent of their sins, they should turn from their sins, turn away from them. They should confess their faith in Christ and that they should be baptized, washing the guilt of their sins away. Young or old, that's what you need to do. And we hope and pray that you'll do so today while we stand and sing.